Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text next step to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 Hope line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to another episode of Crypto Bros. I'm your host, Jason Madison. As always, joined by my co-hosts, Mike Risse and Chris Epps. What up, fellas?
What up? Happy Friday.
It's April 15th. It's Good Friday.
It is.
It's the fake tax day.
Oh, shit. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Tax day.
Yeah, I forgot that. That's a thing. I keep forgetting.
Yeah, well, that's a big important day in crypto world now. Niggas should be marking that shit down on your motherfucking calendars. This is the day.
Yeah. It's the last day, right?
It's not good. I didn't have a good week.
Yeah.
It's kind of stressing me out.
Really? Well, you know what? It'll be funny. It'll be like something we can laugh at in 10 years when, you know,
when it's less stressful,
when you're in Montenegro, and you're paying $1 million in taxes, or running from the taxes, but
it just sucks the fun out of everything.
That's why don't pay them.
You got to eventually.
I think this year is like an onboarding year, so like I think there's some loopholes, like. You know, crypto.com is like, I tried to get like my transaction statements from them.
Mm-hmm.
It was all over the place. It was just like, what is this? Like, no one's about to calculate this.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Coinbase. Yeah, and
Coinbase. Like, they sent some shit. Coinbase and Robinhood both sent me some shit. Like,
yeah. No, their shit is clean. Like, their shit is clean.
Yeah, they're not going to be they're not going to be in court with you if you.
Like, exactly. Not. They're like, no, we got,
exactly, yeah.
We got you sold up, player. But I didn't know that about crypto.com. They still.
And OpenSea.
Oh, yeah. OpenSea. The NFT game. That's the motherfuckers I've been seeing complain.
Yeah.
Like, and I get it. Because, yeah, like, if you trading and buying and it's like, you know, that's a lot. A lot of transactions.
It's a touchy subject. Yeah. Good. You should see my Telegram chats. They were, everyone for like the last week, the mood has changed.
Yeah.
Like, even some shit is up, but everyone just like, ugh. It's all, a lot of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do mine one day.
Yeah, when that day comes, if that day is to be upon us. But yeah, I think technically if you're listening to this pod on Saturday, you have until Monday and you're not past the deadline. I think that's the official deadline for the government to get your taxes in for your 2021 fiscal year.
Jesus. That was quick too.
Yeah. Yeah, we're already like 100 days into the year, if you can believe that.
Oh yeah, that's kind of scary.
Yeah, I think we just passed 100 days. So
like we've been into like three cycles already in the markets.
Yeah, I wanted to just address the elephant in the room. That'll be like the first segment. So we're working on this being our last unsegmented, unregimented, unpasteurized, no frills, random, avant-garde episode. From here on out, I'll be the suit, buttoned up, doing it the right way, by the book.
You got W-2s coming in?
At the speed limit, yeah. Everything will be above board.
Yeah.
And that's how we're going to run it. So for the first segment, it should be the elephant in the room, because then that's basically current events.
Yeah.
So, elephant in the room, Elon Musk wants to buy Twitter.
Sounds like he's already got a good chunk, right?
Right. He's already the largest stakeholder with 9.2%.
And then he put the tip in and then walked away right after on his little.
Right. Yeah. Well, he was just playing with him. He just wanted to get the pussy wet. And then he just whipped it out and said, I'll buy it all for $42.3 billion cash money. Really? He got the briefcases, the Brinks trucks, JP Morgan Chase, everybody's pulling up.
What's he been saying recently? Wait, let me see.
And he hasn't stopped tweeting. So he really loves Twitter. We know that. Like, that's not a question.
He hasn't tweeted today. Yesterday, he was on a tirade. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he's a reply guy.
Deal.
He's a memer. Yeah, cash. That's what made the threat so immediate, is that he didn't say, oh, you know, stocks and other things, or let me get it together. No, he announced it as a cash purchase. And so basically he's trying to, you know, and they're referencing it as a hostile takeover, but he's trying to buy it and, you know, correct the things that he sees wrong. And in his mind, I'm sure his thought process goes something like, if I'm the richest man in the world and I believe this should change and I do a poll on Twitter and most of the people say they want it to change, then why don't I just use my richest man in the world card and change it?
That's crazy. It's interesting because I feel like a lot of the people in my feed, a lot of the people that I follow on crypto Twitter or in NFTs don't really like him, but that's like his market that he's targeting, or that's like the thing he's targeting. The Doge is offline now on satellites, and Starlink thing is, like, I don't know who actually likes him, but everyone wants him to do wants him to be like the little kid with the magnifying glass and do shit and blow shit up. It's kind of right. Funny.
Well, it seems like the people in this space like the wrong people. I was infuriated earlier today when I saw a lot of apes and other random crypto people, meme accounts and whatever, reposting the 6ix9ine throw the cash out in front of the Lambos video. And just with no sense of irony, you know, like,
yeah,
like, yeah, you guys will post anybody to make your point about being despicable humans. Like, what? Like, that it's, I don't understand, like, what
that's value. Degeneracy again.
Yeah, no, it's degeneracy with no, but degeneracy should have a wink and a nod, you know? It's just like some sort of couth about itself, you know? And it's just like they're, everybody's just completely classless, doesn't care. Oh, they don't care if he's a dictator or a totalitarian or if he wants to, you know what I'm saying? Like, do away with
that, like,
the fucking structure of that. Our world. Like, they don't, if that's a part of it, it's just like, yeah, let somebody else run it. Let him do whatever he wants to do. It's kind of a strange.
I mean, people kind of like that shit. People, for some reason, have some obsession with dictators and tyrants and love watching shit about serial killers and dark, like, things that are, you know, against the grain or contrarian and shit. Like, I know a bunch of people that I know who would love, who always suck his balls but don't like him as a person, but they are all over his shit. And that's like, people will make, or like, make memes or make fun or like kind of like
sound like anybody else we know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a few people, like, there's a bunch of people who do that. Well, I mean, I guess I make jokes or I'll like support something that someone that I don't like or thinks is fucking stupid, but I like the thing. Sometimes Kanye is fucking stupid, but I like everything that he does.
No, I'm saying that's exactly who this sounds like. Those are the characteristics. Yeah. Who you described. Like, this sounds like Kanye West behavior. People hate him and they hate the person and they talk shit about him, but then, you know, anything happens that is along their party lines and they're going to champion him. And, oh, he's a genius. He's this, he's that. Pick a side, pick a motherfucking side and ride. So
it's a cultural thing too. Cause Elon's tapped or somewhat seemingly tapped into stuff that's culturally relevant.
Right. A lot
of people aren't. Like,
but that's the thing too about these guys is that they just want to be culturally relevant. Like, these rich ass motherfuckers, Elon, Jeff Bezos, like, Jeff Bezos is having dinner with Kim K and fucking Pete Davidson and shit. And it's like,
hey, yo, what are they doing? Yo,
yeah, like, what the fuck are you doing hanging out with Kim Kardashian? You just want to be famous. Yeah, like, I don't know. But,
new tape. You didn't know about that?
But this is Elon's attempt at change, shifting the culture and, you know, whatever. He's going to spend a sixth or an eighth of his wealth to fucking be in control of the culture.
Well, in the words of my man Big Bob, culture eats strategy for breakfast. Culture runs this shit, man.
Yeah.
That's why Jeff Bezos is meeting with Kim K, because she's culturally influential.
Right.
And that's just the way of the world. Like, she's an important person, whether people want to admit it or not.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
she's a market maker for sure.
No, she's, yeah, you know, she's tapped in. She is who she is.
She has a utility.
Right. Right. Utility. She definitely has a utility. Oh, man.
Another subject of ours.
Yeah. But I will, you know, on that note, let's get to the NFT report.
Yeah. The Fungi report.
Yeah.
The non-fungies.
The non-fungi report. What's been going on? There's been a lot of movement, a lot of consolidation in the movement. It's like, right now it's only a few things that me and Mike have been seeing moving around, pumping. Everything that's new is kind of pooping out. But it's pretty strong. It's kind of still decorrelated from the market, even though the market itself, the general crypto market, is crabbing or, you know, chopping up, chopping along. We like it. I don't know.
I would say the project of the week is
Milady.
Milady.
Milady. I don't know about Milady. 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 This nigga just go cough for mute yourself, nigga.
That was kind of partially effect because he knows why it was effect.
What's, I mean, yeah, Chris, this was probably one of the Chris's best calls since.
Since he's been making calls?
His best NFT call. This might be his best NFT call, honestly.
Okay.
Because of the range. And right now, the money that my friends have made off of it, like, we none of us bought it, but we saw it, we watched it go from like 0.08 to now 1.7.
No, it's like 1.9. It's going toward 2E.
Yeah, so I have a few friends who had like 20 or 30. My Telegram.
20 or 30?
Yeah. One friend of mine, one of my best friends or one of my mentors and that I've never met, but crypto.
I love that. This mentors that you never met.
Yeah, dude, this kid named Buying Your Stops. He's famous on Twitter for having a great eye. Mm-hmm. He showed me Milady. He showed our group Miladies, which is like this weird kind of meme-y, like, looks like
it's weird
farm man. Game Animal Crossing. It looks like Animal Crossing.
Yeah, like, how do you spell it?
Milady.
Yeah,
is maker, Milady maker.
Maker. Okay.
Yeah. And allegedly, it's by some like high school girls who like are kind of like they tout that they're schizophrenic and weird and like edgy on Twitter and like have real fucking weird ass meme edgy like
right and,
have this culture going about like how Toads was, where it was all kind of just chill. That vibe, this vibe is much more angsty teenager on like growing up online type thing. That's like a
right I get you. I'm looking at it, I'm peeping the vibe. It's like
they got weird ass like they got like, you know, homages to a bunch of cultural stuff like 9/11 gear, Tommy Hilfiger, or like Supreme stuff, like clothes that aren't, that it's not the actual brand, but it's, you know, a spoof of it. And yeah, I've been watching my friends go crazy for a month. And like the last 2-3 days it just went up like a ETH.
It was, so we felt stupid watching it go to like 0.7. you're like, oh, it's done, like, oh, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's the end of the pump.
It's at 2 ETH.
Yeah,
it is. That's it. Point zero. I think Chris sent there like 0.08.
Yeah.
And we all fucked with it. We were like, oh, this shit is dope.
And what's interesting is it sold out 6 months later after it came out.
Wow.
When it didn't mint out, there's like only like a couple hundred minted up until a month ago.
And they were just sitting there. And
someone found them.
Yeah.
The meme and saw it, and then the meme like just grew into.
So how much of this is gonna be like music in the terms of like random niggas just getting hot? Like,
oh, that's
yeah.
I don't know.
It was a delay, but man, those projects, it's funny because these be hurt. Because I looked at the project, I looked at the website, and I was like, this is cool. Weird, but cool. I've never seen anything like it. Whenever I have that thought, it's usually like it does something. Like, I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
So to see it at 2 ETH is just disgusting.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
To not have two or three of those, like, right now is just... Because you don't do nothing.
You don't have two or three of those, Mike?
Sorry.
No, I don't.
Oh, damn. I thought you were telling me a success story earlier.
No, this is a pain story.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah.
Okay. For the homies, clap it. I love it. And then, like, they're fucking hilarious. And the actual art is interesting. Yeah, it's weird. They're gonna do avatars for VR and Twitch apparently, or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use them. So there's utility.
Right.
Fucking utility. The word of the week in the NFTs also.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so
people buying it for the art.
Right. Right.
Weird.
People are actually buying this for the art.
Yeah, they were.
That's dope.
The meme is a utility, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Meme's
mm-hmm.
Our utility also. What's the utility of tokens that, you know, Doge or Shiba, or what's the utility? It's, in my opinion, it's to sell it, just to make money.
Right.
The utility of some of these NFTs are.
I got an airdrop from the Beans DAO actually.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That's what I sent. I got some beans. I got some beans tokens.
That's hard.
I don't know what the fuck they're worth or what they're going to, you know, but I got some.
Are they worth anything? No.
I haven't checked. I was using this thing called Coin Tracker to do my taxes or to accumulate the transactions, and it notified me that I got an airdrop from BeansDAO.
That's hard.
That's right. Because airdrops are.
Yeah. How does it feel getting airdrops? Because I think I got like some random thing airdropped to me on OpenSea, and I was like, this is not. Pleasure. Yeah. I was like, this is not tight.
Like, yeah, no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I kind of figured.
Hide that bitch. You can hide things on OpenSea.
But shit, like,
Chris is Mr. Airdrop, man. Like, he's gotten the six-figure airdrops, you know.
No, I have not. IRS. I have not gotten any airdrops.
Oh, okay.
But just tell me the feeling. What does it feel like?
It's amazing. Like, it's amazing, yeah, to get airdrops. It's amazing. You wake up and you're like, oh, if you know they're coming.
If you don't know it's coming, how does it feel?
That shit is actually the best, usually.
Oh, that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
Because you got the beans. Cool. Yeah, you didn't know it was coming.
It was like, what? Like, what's that? Like, and I have like, so I got airdropped two times because I have two beans.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, damn, like, see what this is about one day, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, speaking of, I got to check on this other air. Like, it's amazing. Like, except for, you know, it's just, what do you do with them? Do you sell it right away? Do you wait and hold and it doubles up in a day? So you just made $120,000?
Right.
Or, you know, what's your situation? It's stressful getting free money. Man, yo, free money is a stressful situation, I'm telling you guys.
So,
it is actually.
Yeah.
So, not
the easiest to manage.
Right, right. So what happens when you get it? Like,
do you
think I'm going to hold this? Is that your first thought? Or is your first thought, how high can it go?
Guys, we've talked about this before. HelloFresh, our friends at HelloFresh are the best. It makes home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. Look, here's the deal. It's all about the convenience. Not only did the fresh ingredients, might I add, come pre-portioned so you're not overbuying or wasting food, but it's easier than ever to get filling meals on the table in a snap with options like family-friendly and quick and easy recipes. HelloFresh's chefs really know how to diversify the menu with seasonal recipes like salmon limone and pasta primavera, and you can pick your favorites from 50 different weekly options. Skip weeks when you need to, change your delivery day, update your preferences. You can do all of that in the HelloFresh app. As I said, I've done it before, bought it for my family. See, did the pasta primavera not too long ago. We've also done, oh, this is one I really love, the Old Bay buttered up chicken. It is fire. It is flames. Best of all, it is fresh right in your own kitchen. You made it. You've got the ingredients fresh, and it can be a lot cheaper than going out to eat. Absolutely. And also cheaper than buying groceries. So definitely make sure you get up on this HelloFresh train. Go to HelloFresh.com/BOM16 and use code BOM16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. Again, HelloFresh.com/BOM16. Use code BOM16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. So here's the deal. Usually when I do these ad reads, I've never really tried the product until they became sponsors, and then they give us samples, and I try them, and then I endorse them. I'm not trying to make it seem like it's fake. It's real. I've tried them, and I like them, but it's not like I've ever used these things before they became sponsors. Today's a little different. Credit Karma. I'm telling you right now, I've used Credit Karma to fix my credit, to figure out what the problematic things on my credit report was, to pay those things off, to get a loan in order to pay off some of those things, to apply for credit cards, to get credit cards I'll qualify for, to take care of them the right way, and then to make sure I level up. Credit Karma uses your credit data to find loan offers that are personalized to you so you can have a better idea of what loan amount you can get approved for. Credit Karma will even show your chances of approval so you can choose between loan offers that you're more likely to get approved for and apply with more confidence. I've done this, ladies and gentlemen, and it absolutely works. Comparing loan offers on Credit Karma is 100% free, and best of all, it won't affect your credit scores and can save you money. Credit Karma, apply with more confidence today. I am talking to you as someone who has fixed his credit using Credit Karma before they ever paid me to do this stuff right now. That's right. Ready to apply? Head to creditkarma.com/loan offers to see personalized offers. Go to creditkarma.com/loan offers to find the loan for you. That's creditkarma.com/loan offers.
Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass-on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, Noodle. Hey, boy. How you doing? And Noodle's just like,
ah, whatever. Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher-turned-podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep. Free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
All of those thoughts at once.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
And it's like you think about, wait, what do I have? What can I do? I need to sell it? Can I? Oh, what happened to the last airdrop I got? Or what happened to the airdrop that my homies got that went up 10x? You know. Right. And then you start thinking about fundamentals. Hopefully, you're thinking about fundamentals and thinking about your fucking stomach and shit like that.
Yeah.
One thing I've noticed is that these airdrops all happen around this, like a certain amount of time, like when the markets are usually more popping and bullish.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it's, you know, now I have like some scars. I think that might be just because it's a way to gain liquidity for your group or protocol, or, you know,
right. Make some,
but the also incentivized systems, like there's a brand new chain called Evmos, which is like Cosmos, but using Ethereum technology that I've been waiting on for a month. And it's this all this new technology. You can do this new shit and take funds from one chain to another. And I'm banking on that. And it's got some really good ideas and it's got a lot of shit that can work out. But the airdrop happened a month ago and it fucking had that issues with the chain. So they had to turn off the blockchain and restart. So now that's going to be like a thing I got to factor in when the airdrop is active, which should be hopefully this week. There's just an announcement right now. See, it's crazy. I'm psyched.
That's some advanced shit. So I didn't know niggas could turn off their blockchains because some shit went wrong. And then the airdrop that they gave you is inactive. Could be inactive.
The coins weren't even active when they were being launched. There wasn't trading yet because it's a brand new thing. So they have to connect all these other protocols and chains so we can trade in between it, because it's supposed to be like a blockchain that's bridged between Cosmos and Ethereum, and that you can use apps that use both or try to bridge stuff between both. So it's like when I get the airdrop, I don't think it's going to be active for the first day. Most of these airdrops that we get on Ethereum are, you know, you claim it or you get it dropped in your wallet and you can do something with it that day. It'll be a whole another system. I have to use a whole different new wallet I've never used before, or make a connection to that chain on my MetaMask and like learn all this new shit. So when it first came out a month ago, I learned all this new shit again about a whole new chain and all these new apps. And I had to follow like 10 new accounts and watch this new shit on Discord. It's a whole process. And then that when it comes out that day, you'll be in these chats and watching people are acting, sending them in and watching the charts and trying to figure out if you want to stake it and get any APY, because everything's going to be high and yield,
right?
Because it's new and it wants to bring incentives to the people, so people come in and bring their money and stake it to help secure the system. And then got to worry about if it's going to die, or if it's going to get fucked up again. So you know, just take profit and maybe ride it with what they call a suicide bag, which is a little bag so you don't kill yourself if it goes up to the moon.
Yeah. Suicide bag.
Yeah. Mike, so what's your thought, like, in feeling your first thoughts and feelings when it hit?
How high can it go? The looks airdrop, which, you know, I sold pretty late, but I'm always just interested to see the price discovery of it. I'm not like, unless it's just money that I need immediately, like, I'm willing to take the ride. I like see how high we can go. But you know, with the airdrops, Chris mentioned taxes. It's not a taxable event until you sell it. It's just a gift.
It's a gift.
Yeah.
So
it's not a capital gain until you actually
sell it. Yeah, exactly.
Exchange it.
Yeah. But there's also the famous line on the other side. It's not a loss until you sell.
They goddamn right. Goddamn you right.
So.
Right.
You know.
But this is never, you know, that's the thing with the airdrop. It's never a loss because it was
free. Right.
Cost basis for you.
Yeah. Exactly. Nothing. Yeah, so as an airdrop,
so that's why it's so like, oh, like, wonder where we could go, bro.
Yeah, they incentivize you to hold it because it's free.
Yeah.
And
then, you know, speculation or like hope about, oh, this could do what this last thing did. Oh, this will do what that last thing did. Oh, look at this last thing. It did that. So then, of course, Doge is going to do what Bitcoin did, because Bitcoin did that. So Doge has to do that sooner or later. Or Shiba's going to do what Doge did. Yeah.
I've never heard anybody say that. Doge is going to do what Bitcoin did.
Wow. That's what the next Ethereum is. Like, the Ethereum killer is supposed to do what Ethereum does, right?
No, that's, I mean, I've seen people say that as a joke, or maybe half serious on Twitter. I've seen it said before, though. I agree, Chris.
I went into like the, I went hyperbolic because, you know, I'm being a little toxic when I say it.
Yeah.
But that's what it happens. That's what happens.
So I went into the diamond store earlier this week. I hadn't been in there in a very long time. Saw my man who I hadn't seen in a while, Hoff. And was in there, and I saw that Diamond has a bunch of Bored Ape collabed merch, but it's Nick Diamond's apes that he's put onto the Diamond brand. Mm. And I will, you know, like personally, I thought the skateboards were kind of cool looking, but I was curious, like who would wear? Would you want to wear somebody's? Somebody else's NFT. That was a thought that I was having when I was looking at it. Like, it wasn't that I'm saying it's whack. I was just curious, like, who's, are people interested in wearing somebody else's NFT on their, like, as a shirt?
No, but a fractionalized one, Mike, that would be sick, right? If there's a fractionalized NFT collab line or something, that could be cool. Like, if we all owned a piece of it and we all could only get that, and it's the same ape and people across the world own that. But yeah.
Because I saw the Bored Ape.
Heard about that.
Right. Because I saw the Bored Ape hoodie when I was at the Grove. I saw somebody had a black one on.
Hundreds, I think.
Okay, maybe. But I thought that hoodie was dope because it was the logo. It was like the Bored Ape logo. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, I'll be down to wear that. You know, if somebody gave me that, I wear it, you know. But then even then, I was like, knowing what I know about NFTs, like, I will still kind of feel kind of poserish. It's like, you know, because the idea right now behind the merch is that you own the PFP, right? Like, most of the guys that have it own it. And I was just thinking about, in terms of merch, like an expansion, how do you think the public is going to feel about that concept, or are they not going to care?
I think the merch is for patrons of the project and patrons of the property, in the same way that there's sports memorabilia. Like, none of us play for the Lakers. None of us are part of the Laker organization, but we patronize the team.
Right.
So in that way, I don't see an issue with it. And I don't think people are posers, because this could be just a person. You could just be a person that's seen Bored Ape from Take Off. And it's like, oh, wow, that's crazy. That's dope. Like,
yeah.
I want a shirt, you know, like, it's as easy as that. So,
no, and I agree. But that's what was an interesting, like, psychologically for me going through that, because in this, essentially, it's like a Bape or any other brand with characters that they've created, or, you know, like, I mean, they didn't start as a clothing brand, but I'm just saying, like, you know, we love to wear the Polo Bear or Mickey Mouse or whatever. Like, I don't own any of that IP. Like, you know, like, and niggas is making billions off of that. So it was interesting to me that I even had this kind of psychological process when I saw it, because I was like, damn, do I want to be rocking this nigga's ape, or like even the brand, like knowing I don't have one? But it's going to be interesting to see also, like, in the future, how you guys are talking about, like, these young high school girls doing M'Lady, like, younger kids, generations growing up with NFTs and integrating them with their brands, and that being like part and parcel, you know, like, maybe the clothing, the next Virgil or whoever will, you know, like, have their own NFT project mixed with their clothing genius, or, you know, Alexander McQueen, whoever the next, like, you know, like, creatives are going to grow up now with this technology, as a part of their toolbox, and it's going to be like part and parcel to what they do. And yeah, that thought that I had won't even enter people's mind. It'll just be like, yeah, that's part of the brand. Like,
yeah, no, and that's kind of how I look at it. Like, just NFTs are just kind of a new pillar and a new pipeline to introduce an idea and intellectual property. So it's like, if Pokemon came out today, it would be in the form of NFTs instead of trading cards.
Yep.
And so, you know, Bored Ape will have, you know, a television show or animation series, maybe. They already have a little small animation. So
yeah. And then did you hear about Coinbase trying to license them to do a film, or they're doing a film and they're licensing people's Bored Apes?
Girl, yeah,
that was a
part of ours. Got hers in the movie.
See, Chris heard about it.
We met her at NFTLA, a friend of Vince's and Quinn's and of droidheads.com.
Oh, she that at the that we seen at the Bored and Hungry?
No. How did I forget her name now?
Okay.
But she works with that Stevie Aoki Project Raps, and I saw on her Twitter she applied for it. She was actually telling us about it during NFTLA, that there's about to be something big with Coinbase and apes, and to watch out and we're like, what's going on? Like, I can't tell you fully. The announcement that she movie or whatever. I don't know.
Dope.
I guess Chris kind of just froze up on my end, so I don't know.
Yeah, too.
Chris, were you moving your camera?
No, it was my internet.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, basically, yeah, a friend of ours applied and put her ape in, and it got in the movie.
That's crazy.
It'll be interesting to see what they do with that.
Yeah, I don't know how the NFT movie is finna be, who's voicing the character, what the cameras and animation is finna look like, the story. That's gonna be interesting. I don't know how they're gonna play that, but I'm
Did
sure.
You ever see that Bored Ape animation?
I've seen the character animated, but I haven't seen it in like integrated. Like, I've seen like the full body joint.
Or you saw that ad for the other side. Made.
I guess.
Remember last month?
Yeah.
Where they had all those NFTs in that lake. And
oh, yeah.
I guess it would be like that. I don't know. It's weird. No one in crypto Twitter liked it.
I mean, but who cares? Like, they're a small subsect of the population. And, like, that's the whole thing. This shit could catch on with a whole nother group. And that's what people are not thinking about. Like, you niggas still represent a 0.01 of niggas who care about shit in the world. Mm-hmm. You know? So
yeah, like, I went to, me and Mike went to Bored and Hungry in Long Beach. Shout out Bored and Hungry. To go eat a Bored Ape. Well, yeah, that's right. Well, we did go eat at a Bored Ape restaurant. That's
a Bored Burger.
Yeah, that's specific to three apes that own it, you know, three or a few apes.
Mm-hmm.
That's their IP, and they own it with like six people.
Mm-hmm.
Or shit like that. That was really interesting to watch. Me and Mike were dumbfounded. The burgers were pretty good.
Yeah, let's wrap it. Let's wrap the episode with your experience from the Bored and Hungry store. So there's a Bored and Hungry burger place that was opened up, I don't know how long, in Long Beach.
3 months.
Yep. It's going to be open for 3 months, so y'all can get your Bored burgers, your eight burgers, eight Shout fries. Yeah.
Super cool. We know the chefs. We knew the DJ. It's kind of funny. It's such a small world. In the NFT stuff, I'm realizing a lot of people that I know or have known are getting into it or finally getting aware of it. But some friends of ours are the chefs, and they've been in the chef world for like a long time. I went to high school with them, me and our friend Vince. And they've also been in NFTs for a minute, apparently. They've owned apes since they came out, or for like a good, like the last half of the year, for a minute, it sounds like they've owned NFTs.
Did they mint them or no?
No, I think they bought them. but the collective of people that own this restaurant board in Hungary, they all own NFTs. They're all trying to like integrate the world, the metaverse slash NFT crypto world and the real world, and use their IP for, you know, their own benefit and spread the word, I guess. There's a bunch of different shit you can do with it.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird seeing all these people there. It was cool to watch. It was cool to see all these people there. I don't know what the long-term thing you can do with this stuff. I don't know. But it's definitely a good place to like network, like, or meet people who are all interested in the same thing, want to build or have like-minded ideas, want to build stuff in the same market or the same vein.
Mike, why don't you walk me through your experience of going there and, you know, what you felt, what you saw?
It was pretty linear, man. I was sitting down most of the time trying to just figure out what fucking gumbo pot of people I was around. I did have the thought at one point that this shit was like Revenge of the Nerds and like Bobby Hundreds is like the leader. Because it was just like, you know, like real world and then like Web3 and like, obviously the line is because these are all patrons of the Bored Ape community and project. So then you have streetwear. One of the main partners, Andy, I didn't know, but he partnered with another one of my friends, Josh Vides, to do a coffee shop, like in Josh's art downtown. So, but he's like, you know, super integrated into like the streetwear culture world. But I mean, it was all in all, man, it was beautiful. It was great. It was a great turnout. It was great to see it. Everybody was like, cool. It was dope to see, honestly, to see it just kind of like crystallize into that and really see like how this IP is, you know, being utilized in this way, in that way. Like Chris said, it was a group of six people or so that own a few apes, and you know, they to use the IP from their apes to like leverage a demand and an awareness about a restaurant. Thought that was pretty cool.
Right. Yeah, they are using that IP that is now famous, you know, using the fame and not just the financial gain to create other opportunities for them.
And for the neighborhood,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Like the whole, it was actually, that was the coolest thing when they started talking, all the owners or the collective. Like, I was like, oh, this is like, they were like all Long Beach locals. It seemed like, mm-hmm, most of them were from the neighborhood. I know like the guy we met, Wally from Friend's House, one of the owners, he's super cool. He said he lives on the street. He told us to come back by. He's like talking to us about our project and doing the other. He works with a friend of ours, and he works on a bunch of other stuff. He's in like five other DAOs, and he's been in the market for a minute. And he's just a guy from Long Beach who makes, also happens to have like a vegan burger restaurant. And that's what it will be after the pop-up of Bored and Hungry leaves. And that's what they were cooking there. The vegan ones were from Belief Burger. And so he's leveraging that. And then building a community with that and having people now, like I'm down to go by there just to go check it out because I've met this guy and he's going to be there for a minute. It kind of creates like a real life NFT community. And I don't even have, I don't have an ape, but
right,
I kind of appreciate them more, even though I never really like fucked with the actual thing because the people that are in it.
And you can see it was different communities. It was people.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously it crosses over, like the one of the partners, he's in Doodles. Mm-hmm. I seen some people like repping Cool Cats pretty hard. mm-hmm. you know, like tattooed and like with memorabilia, they might have fucking been a part of the Cool Cats for all I know.
Right.
So
as in Long Beach, you know, who knows?
But you know, like I think just being there, you feel the same way you felt in the early streetwear days.
Yeah.
Just like there's this energy and excitement and this like optimism around like what's going on. And you know, there's people there, like Vince was telling us, like, man, that dude has three Bored Apes. Like it was like just some Asian dude, like, you know, that's $1 million in the Apes, but it's just funny like what money looks like. It's always funny what money looks like, but
yeah,
and how money carries. Yeah, but now it's like, oh, what? Like, you don't know who's who.
Yep. I love that. I love that about Web3 and the new world.
Yeah, or about crypto in general, or about, yeah, this, the online world is pretty interesting. Meeting people that you have known just through online connections, or that's what I did a lot during NFTLA.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary and interesting and it's cool. Or, you know, dating people online. It's the same shit as dating people you meet online. Shit.
Right. Yeah, and I'm sure there's going to be an NFT dating service soon.
Right. Or, you know.
Yeah.
You can get something from...
I've seen some dudes try to holler in the Discords and the little Twitter chats. I've seen... These young nerds is trying. You know what I'm saying? It's put their little game out here.
You know, you get an Azuki, you start off with just, you know, one or two ETH, and now you got, you know, four ETH.
Ladies, you don't know how many beans he got. You don't know.
You can put some beans on the table after that.
Yeah. So make sure you show the cats some love. The Cool Cats, the Gutter Cats, all of them.
Yeah.
But I'm glad y'all enjoyed it. Before we go, how was the food?
Oh yeah, it was good.
Good. It was good. I had the vegan option. It was really good.
Same. I had the vegan one.
If like the homies wanted to like just go again and like just to go see it, or like I would go.
Yeah. I want to go. So let's go. Burgers on me. We're going to Bored and Hungry.
Yeah, you can use ETH too. And ApeCoin.
Oh yeah,
you can. That shit.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm paying in USD.
Hey man, they was taking that too.
Yep. And I'm sure they're gonna convert it into ape or whatever they need. WEETH. So for the crypto bros, I'm Jason Madison. Thanks for tuning in for another episode. We're gonna be coming to you guys live on YouTube very shortly for an extended amount of time. We're gonna have new guests,
new format.
It's gonna be a whole new show. I hope you guys have enjoyed the first 11 episodes of Crypto Bros. It's only going up from here, up only. Don't get wrecked. Please don't rug me. Do your own research. Wag me. All of that.
Yeah, take
profits. It's not a loss until you sell. Do your taxes. Happy Easter, everybody. For Jason Madison, Mike Risse, and Chris Epps, we out of here. Peace.